Obviously, in today's readings, we discuss the church chooses these readings to emphasize the mercy of God. The mercy of God. There's also the story in the gospel of the woman who was caught in adultery, and we know in the early days of the church that gospel was actually eliminated by some of the scribes, the monks who were copying the gospel because they thought it was too lenient and would lead others to fall into sin and presume on the mercy of God. And perhaps they couldn't eliminate this story. It was too long. The story of the brother who squandered his father's money on loose living and then comes back and the father embraces him. They're both, the same kind of category. So, why they wanted to eliminate the passage on the woman who was caught in adultery maybe doesn't make sense, but the church has always seen that passage as well as inspired by God and part of the scriptures. So we have that to underline the great mercy of God, the wonderful mercy of God, the unbelievable, almost too good to be true mercy of God on all of us. And when we think about the mercy of God, we realize that God is merciful on his own behalf, but he's also merciful through the intercession of other people. In the Old Testament, we have this reading on Moses, who interceded on behalf of the very sinful Israelites, who, after all the amazing things God did in Egypt with the 10 plagues and the miracles he performed in the desert, they still easily started worshiping the calf and idols, and God was ready to punish them, and Moses interceded. We had that similar circumstance or situation with Abraham, how Abraham interceded for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all it would have taken was 10 good people for God not to destroy those cities. But so he interceded, and there was a Job as well interceded, and God even told those three friends that were unfair to Job and accused him of wrongdoing, and God said, "You were in the wrong, so pray, go to Job and ask him to pray for you, and then I will forgive you." God himself said that to them to show how God allows himself to be influenced through the intercession of other people. And even in the New Testament, of course, we have our Lord Jesus Christ himself as our great intercessor. And even those who interceded in the Old Testament, they interceded and God listened to them because of the foreseen merits of Jesus Christ. It is because of his intercession with the Father that God even listens to us, and he shows mercy to us because of his Son. So Jesus is that great intercessor, the one intercessor and mediator who obtains mercy from the Father for us. And even Our Lady is within the mercy, within that intercessory role of Jesus Christ, and she's that great intercessor too, and the saints. And also the holy women who live with us today, who we ask to pray for us. We know that those who are devout in prayer, those who suffer, those who love God, those who love our fellow neighbors, are powerful intercessors before the throne of God, as Scripture itself says in the book of James. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful indeed. So we have all these intercessors for us, for the mercy, to obtain for us the mercy of God. But God is great in mercy, and we all need We all need mercy from the highest to the lowest, from the Holy Father, bishops, priests. We all need mercy, presidents. All of us need God's mercy because we have been offended God many times in our life, and we need to always keep before our mind our sinfulness, our need for God's mercy, and let it humble us always, especially when we pray. But, you know, we should take that need for mercy with us throughout the day, every day, all the days of our life. I need God's mercy, and I need to show it to our neighbor. And realize that, yes, I need mercy, but God wants to give mercy to us. He wants to show mercy to us. He finds joy in showing mercy to us. He, you know, even in this parable, and as our Lord had said in other passages, heaven rejoices at the conversion of a sinner, as the shepherd rejoices in finding that one sheep that was lost. Heaven rejoices in great joy. So God wants to show us mercy, as St. Paul had said. You know, God has, so to speak, imprisoned us all in weakness and sinfulness so that he can show us mercy. He wants to show us mercy, but he can't not always give us that mercy because of our disposition. We have to be worthy of the mercy of God. And how do we become worthy? Through that sorrow for our sins, contrition, and reform of life. Reform of life. We underline that, reform of life. If I do that, then I am worthy of the mercy of God. That's all I need to do, to be sorry for my sins and reform my life. And then I am worthy of the mercy of God. And that's what all God wants. He wants us to have that constant reformation. I wake up in the morning and I'm going to reform my life. I'm sorry for what I did wrong yesterday, and I will change. I will be better. I will please you better, my God. I will not offend you today. I will strive not to offend you. And then I will persevere. I have to persevere. Can you imagine God and the great joy that he has in our conversion? And then, you know, we might fall away later on. And what great sorrow. What great sorrow for God. What great sorrow for me if that happens. What great sorrow for you if you let that happen. We must persevere in conversion, in that spirit of conversion and reform every day. We have to reform every day, have that spirit of conversion every day, and say, I am only beginning. I am beginning again today to live a good life, to live a better life, and to be worthy of God's mercy. God's mercy is always available. I can grab a hold of it at any moment of my life. As long as I'm breathing, I can obtain the mercy of God. As long as I'm still alive, I can grab a hold of that mercy of God by getting on my knees, by bending my head, by beating my breast, by beating my heart, and being sorry, and changing my life. You know, we can live in a spirit of sorrow for my sins and kind of wallow in that. You know, I need God's mercy. I'm such a big sinner. I've done so many things wrong, and, you know, I got to hang my head and cry and, you know, and then sort of wallow in that and just sort of, you know, find a sort of a perverse pleasure in my, you know, self-pity and wanting others to have pity on me. We need to get beyond that. We need to do that and then get over it and then reform, change, be full of joy in the mercy of God because he will forgive. He will forgive right away as long as he sees that genuine contrition, conversion, desire to be better and to serve him better. So let us, you know, we have to take advantage of the mercy of God, take real advantage of it, because he holds it out to us as an encouragement to us. And we need to take that mercy and then give back to God. He has given that mercy to us, his grace to us, And then we need to give back to him. We need to give back to him our good works, our generosity, our holy life. Look at Mary Magdalene. You know, did she wallow in her sins? No. She exercised her love for God. She was thankful, and she loved God for his mercy, and she responded, and she humiliated herself. She went into the house of the Pharisee and humiliated herself, kissed the feet, wept, kissed the feet of Jesus, and underwent their, the insults that they were saying or thinking. She endured it all for the love of Jesus Christ. She had only one vision, and that was our Lord, who she loved and she was thankful for, and she planned and committed her life to change. She totally committed her life to change. And this is a part of the fruit of true conversion, true sorrow for our sins, a commitment to change, a total commitment to change, and to promise to change. You know, we can say, you know, I lived a sinful life and I'm going to change and I'll try. And it can be a weak resolve. You know, we need to have strong resolutions in our response to God's mercy, strong resolutions. I will change. I will not do the same thing. I will not put myself into that same situation. I will not. I promise. And fulfill the promise. You know, we can say, I don't want to make any promises because I don't want to, not fulfill them and then hurt the one I'm promising to. And, I would say, I will try. And there's a weakness there, there's an unworthiness. That's not worthy of God in his mercy to say, I'll just try. You know, we don't need to do that. We can do more than that. By the grace of God, we can say strongly and make strong resolutions, I will do that because I can, with the help of God and his mercy and his grace, I can, and so I will. I have to, I must. I must change. That's what Mary Magdalene would have done, did do, what the saints have done, and what you and I must do. That's our duty to the mercy of God. That's the only worthy response to the mercy of God. You know, we have to strive. We have to be on the offensive. And as I said, we can wallow in our sins and sorrow, and then just sort of not make any progress. But the mercy of God should encourage us and put us on the offensive. I live this sinful life, okay, and now let's get beyond that. Let's forget it as God does. He forgets it, and he wants to see us live a holy life from now on, and so I must too. I must put it all behind me and please God from now on to do my duty, to do what I should have done in the past that I didn't do, and do it now, and do it better and better every day. And, really use this mercy of God to encourage us to live a good life from now on, a holy life. You know, it's like the scapular that we wear. Our Lady has promised us that we will be saved from the fires of hell if we wear the scapular. And we can just sort of put it on and sit back and rely on that good luck charm, that superstitiously expect God to, bring us to heaven no matter what we do. We can do that with the scapular. We can do that with God's mercy and just get presumptuous and commit the sin of presumption and just not get any better. We can do that with a scapular, and we can do that with God's mercy and just stay the same or get worse. But that's not what the scapular is for, and that's not what the mercy of God is for. It's to encourage us to live a good life, to be holy, and take advantage of the mercy of God, to put it all behind us, because that's what God wants. He wants us to forget our sins and to look forward to the love of God, pleasing Him, living a good life, a holy life, and doing many, many good works, forgetting, because that's what God does when He forgives. He forgets. I was working in a pregnancy help center once, and a young man came in who had brought in his girlfriend who was pregnant and his wife apparently, and he just sat down and talked with me, and we talked about the mercy of God, and he said, yeah, God forgives, but He doesn't forget. And that was his culture. He had his friends. He said, you know, yeah, maybe, you know, the most we can expect from our fellow men is that they will forgive and maybe not take vengeance, but they won't forget. They won't become my friend anymore. They won't do any good things for me. They'll just not do anything bad. And so we can think that God is that way, but it's not true. God forgets because He wants to. He wants to forget. He doesn't want to hold it against us and hold our sins in front of our face to humiliate us all the time, all of our future. No, He wants to forget and to love us and to make us happy, to make us joyful. He wants to fill us with that joy. There was a story, I think St. Alphonsus told it, or I read it somewhere, where there was a woman who had Jesus appeared to and gave her some message. And so she went to her spiritual director to tell him what happened, what our Lord had told her to do, and get his permission to do it. And the priest said, well, I don't know if that's really Jesus that appeared to you. So what I want you to do is the next time Jesus appears to you, tell him to tell me what the last mortal sin was that I committed and that I confessed in my last confession. And if Jesus can tell you that, then I'll be more likely to believe that Jesus is really appearing to you. So the woman, you know, sometime later, our Lord appeared to her again, and she presented that to our Lord, what her director had asked her to tell Jesus. And so she asked Jesus, what was the last mortal sin that this priest confessed in confession? And Jesus said to her, I forgot. Which really underlines the truth of God's forgiveness. He does forget our sins. He wipes them away, and He doesn't want to remember them, and He doesn't want us to either, to a certain extent. Of course, we want to continually be sorry for our past sins and renew our sorrow, as St. Peter in his denial of our Lord, he always remembered that, and he always wept for that all his life. But it wasn't God who presented it before his eyes to humiliate him. It was he who chose to look at it, to renew his sorrow and his love for God and his mercy for him. So we too need to do that. And finally, to remember the power of confession, that this is where God exercises his mercy, especially in confession. And we need to see confession as the means of God's mercy to me personally, to you personally, to go there, to go. And that's the only place we know for sure that our sins will be forgiven. And so let us go there frequently, often, to have all of our sins forgiven and to gain additional strength to not offend our Lord anymore. You know, we don't want to keep before our eyes mercy and our sins. We want to keep before our eyes a life of holiness, good works, to think on the positive more, think on the positives, not to wallow in the past, but to think positively about how I can please God, make Him happy with a holy life, and not to offend Him any further. So we do that in confession, to put behind us all of our sins, and to gain additional strength. Confession is a sacrament of strength as well as it is of mercy and relief and consolation. It's a sacrament of strength. We can even think of it as like a, the image I have is like a Clark Kent entering a telephone booth and coming out Superman. We enter into that confessional booth with our humanity, and we come out clothed in the grace of God, stronger, strong to fight Satan's temptations, to fight the flesh, to fight the world, with the strength of God, with that superhuman strength that we get from God that we wouldn't otherwise have in confession. So we think of confession too as a sacrament of strength, as well as we do Holy Communion. A confession as well gives us strength to resist sin, resist mortal sin especially, but also resist venial sins and those daily temptations we have. So let us take advantage of this great sacrament of mercy, confession, and also the means of Holy Mother Mary, who is really the personification of the mercy of God in her person. This is her a special role. All of God's mercy comes to us through Holy Mother Mary, and so let us never forget her really indispensable central role in the mercy of God. Every act of mercy from God comes to us through Our Lady, and all that petition for the mercy of God goes up to God through her. That ascending and descending mercy of God comes straight through Holy Mother Mary. And so let's always see her role as the Mother of Mercy and find great consolation in her help to us, her love for us, her help to us in living a holy life and obtaining the mercy of God. Praise be Jesus and Mary.